I'll go to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, we'll be reading verses 7 through 12 this morning responsively. I'll read verse number 7, you'll join me on verse number 8, all the way through verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7, the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Verse number 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we truly are grateful today. Lord, it's wonderful to be back in your house. Lord, it's wonderful to see faces, Lord, we haven't seen in a while. Lord, it's been wonderful to hear the song sung, Lord. And Lord, just being away from the world for a few moments has been truly blessing this morning, Lord. It's been refreshing. Now, Lord, please, would you continue to be with us, Lord? We've already sensed your Holy Spirit's presence this morning, but Lord, please continue to work in our lives. Lord, may we yield ourselves to you if we have not already. Lord, to please work through the truth that you have presented for us this morning. Please use our pastor, fill him with your power. We ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
Let me take a few minutes and I really want to help you today. If you'll just kind of sit back, we'll use our Bibles here in a moment, but this is kind of a two-pronged sermon, but it's only got one point, all right? I'm going to start in one spot and end in another, but you'll figure out how it works together here. I want to take a few minutes and tell you about how great and how powerful our God is. We humans think we're something, but we're nothing but sinful, dying piles of dirt.
That's right.
Honestly, that's really all we are. Yeah, you know, my mom's going to get mad. We think we're hot snot on a silver platter, but nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. We really aren't what we think we are. God is so powerful that he spoke the universe into being. It didn't happen with a big bang. The only bang was God saying, "Here it is." He made one planet out of the countless heavenly celestials in the universe with a perfect atmosphere to sustain life. He created the sun, a moon, and stars. And he created the gravity. He created the land. He spoke and the land came forth. By the way, it didn't float and break apart and drift across in continental drift. He spoke it and it came. He separated the water from the land. He made the oceans. He made the mountains. He did it all. He made the water cycle to clean our earth. You have to understand that he made all the rain so that it would wash the dirt down. It would go into the ground so it would clean itself and give us drinking water, but it also runs into the sea. The salt water then grabs a hold of it. The salt grabs a hold of the dirt and sinks it to the bottom of the sea, and the moisture is evaporated back up, and the winds and the water work together. By the way, that's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. God did that for us so that we had the earth that we do have. You have to understand, the world functions with or without us.
That's right.
Think of the millions and billions of people that have died and the earth hasn't quit functioning yet.
Right.
God also, he did so many things. He put the plants in place. He made the animals. He spoke them all into existence. But God also made man. He formed man out of the dust of the earth. Do you know that the only creation God used his hands on was man?
That's right.
Say, what was he doing? Choking him. No. God used his very own hands, and then he breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. God then made woman from the rib, from the side of Adam, to help him. May I say something? What a powerful God. What a powerful God. God caused a flood some 1,700 years later to envelop the earth and saved 8 people in an ark that had all the plants and all the animals necessary to sustain life after the flood. For 40 days and 40 nights it rained. God broke up the depths from under the ground and under the ocean. He caused the rain to drop on top of them, backed up the sewers in New York, and flooded the world. Yet from those 8 people, they went in 4 directions and populated the world again, and life was put back after about a year. What a powerful God we have. Through all the storms, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the typhoons, and the wind shear, the earth keeps going. In spite of desert heat and sub-zero Arctic temperatures, the earth keeps going. Through the fires, the floods, the world keeps going. Through blizzards and mounting snows that are feet and tens of feet thick, the world keeps going. Man has bombed each other and nuclear tested and nuclear bombed and hydrogen bombed, but guess what? The world keeps on going.
Yes.
You see, God's more powerful than man. God made man with a body, a soul, and a spirit. The Bible says that we were created in his image. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. God made man body, soul, and spirit. Your soul is that. Of course, we know the body. That's this wonderful thing you see in front of you right now. Don't laugh. You hurt my feelings. But my soul is that which is communicating with you right now. My soul is my emotions, my feelings, my personality. My spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. It allows me to communicate with the eternal because, let me tell you something, when sin happened, the Bible says that God told man, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Let me ask you a question. Did his body die that day?
No,
it did not. Did his soul die that day? No, it did not. What died? His spirit. That's why in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to a man named Nicodemus, and he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, whoa, you mean I have to get put back into my mama as an adult man and get born again? Nicodemus's mama was glad Jesus said no. Jesus said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is his spirit. And then Jesus said, you must be born again. And it was a spiritual birth. The Bible uses the word regeneration. That literally means regeneticize. We have to get the eternal genetics of God in our spirit so that it will live forever in heaven. Otherwise, it will burn in hell forever. See, the difference between a saved person and a lost person has a body and a soul, but a dead spirit, but a Christian is alive in Christ. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. That's why the world's all freaked out, and us Christians ought not be.
Amen.
Now, let me help you with something here. God says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and if you'll just glance down there, or just trust me, I'll read it from the only book God ever wrote, the King James Bible. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Verse 7. Now watch this for a moment. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. But God did not say there was no spirit of fear. Look around today at our world. We have a spirit of fear. Everybody's, am I going to get the virus? You have a 0.00015% chance of even getting it. And add two more zeros to that of dying from it. It's very minuscule. And yet, we've shut the world economy down over it. Well, my Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Say, what is that? That is called the spirit of fear. And may I say something? It is satanically involved. It is of the influence of the devil. It's not the devil himself, but it is those that he is controlling. And I've said this from day one. I believe this virus is a precursor to the rapture. This is the Antichrist finding out if he can set up his kingdom. See, the devil had to find out if there's enough salt left in America, if enough preachers had enough backbone to stand up and keep preaching truth or righteousness or shut their church doors. And America has failed. Everybody doing okay? I'm doing all right. We've had our doors open all the way through. I had things set up in the parking lot for many weeks for those that were a little bit more fearful to come. They could listen by FM radio. We videoed it for others and put it on our website. But we've never been shut down. My son sent me a clip this week, and I was going crazy in my office, Miss Kim. He sent me a clip about 5 minutes long of a black preacher in North Carolina. And he said, I need to apologize to Governor Cooper. He said, I've been on Governor Cooper about making churches unessential on the unessential list. He said, Governor, I need to apologize to you. He said, you didn't do that. Churches have made themselves unessential. He said, everybody wants to stay home from church. Now that the governor said it's okay, you're mad at him. Buddy, he come unscrewed. And I was like, glory, I'm having a fit in my office. I'm going to find out who he is and shake his hand. See, we have a First Amendment to the Constitution that overrides a governor cannot make law.
That's right.
We have the right to peaceably assemble. By the way, Governor Justice, one of the few things he's done right, he said that the churches are essential. We don't come under the guidelines of 10 people or 50 people or 25 people. We don't come under the guidelines of the CDC. Those are all voluntary. Those are guidelines. They're not laws. He has said that all along. I've preached that all along. Not afraid of that. You say, well, preacher, what are you going to do if they threaten you with jail? I'll be preaching from jail. I don't like it. I don't want to go there, but I'll be doing it. Everybody doing okay? Now, come on. Here we go. Here's where it gets interesting. Because we're sinners, as a saved person, we have a battle going on for our spirit. The Bible says that after you get saved, you get a new nature. It says that we are there in Christ. The old nature has passed away. Behold, all things become new. Here's the problem. You don't lose your old nature. You add a new nature to the old one. You don't stop sinning the day you get saved. Oh, wish to God we would. But you'll never stop sinning this side of heaven. So you have this old nature, you have a new nature, and we have this battle going on for our spirit.
Yes, sir.
Now, listen to this very carefully. When the spirit of fear can only work on the flesh and the soul. Because God hath not given us a spirit of fear. That means the devil can only work on your body and on your soul, your emotions, your feelings. Now, I'm about to come unscrewed. That means that a saved person's spirit cannot be controlled by an evil spirit. Christians cannot be demon possessed. But you can allow the devil and your flesh to be influenced by the devil, your spirit or your soul, your emotions, and your body. The devil doesn't tempt you spiritually. He tempts you physically and emotionally. When we allow fear and emotion to control our lives, we are not living by the Holy Spirit. We're living by the spirit of fear. That's a evil spirit. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. That means this. God's Holy Spirit does not abide with fear. God hath not given us a spirit of fear. If we are living with a spirit of fear, it's not God's Holy Spirit. And I'm going somewhere. I'll use scripture and prove all this. Hang on. When the Christian lives in fear, they're allowing the devil and his forces of evil to control their flesh and to control their soul. I didn't say it, God did. It is time for Christians to stand up and not live in the spirit of fear.
Amen.
It's time we let the Holy Spirit be our love, our power, and soundness of mind. I don't blame the White House or the State House. I blame the church house. It's a bunch of spineless, backboneless preachers who wear dresses when they preach, so they're afraid to preach the truth, that are cowering and cowtailing and telling people to live in fear instead of preaching truth. Preacher, you're awful bold, aren't you? Hang on, it's going to get worse. Just smile. It is time we let the Holy Spirit be a power of love and of power and of a sound mind. You see, the devil can't hang around that.
Right.
We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in us if we're saved. Then why in the world are we listening to the devil? Why in the world do we give in to this spirit of fear? We're allowing it to control our body and our mind and our emotions, and we are vacillating in virtual spiritual nothingness because we won't let the Holy Spirit of God do what he said he could do through us. Did you know the Holy Spirit can overpower the spirit of fear?
Yes, sir.
May I be real honest with you? For the last 8 weeks, I've wondered when they're going to show up and try to shut us down. Last 8 weeks, like I do every Sunday morning, get here very early. I'd say, Lord, is this the day they're going to come? Do I need to go to jail today? I'm not real excited about it if I am. I'd walk through these hallways and into every classroom and every chair in the junior church in here, and I'd pray and say, God, protect our people. Oh God, would you protect them? God, we're trying to proclaim the truth. Don't shut the truth out. God, give us courage. That's what the word encourage means. It means put courage into. You preach like I do sometime and then have going on what's going on. It takes a little bit of something that most people don't have, including me. It takes the Holy Spirit. I have the same fears you have. Now, I don't need to fear a virus. I don't need to fear cancer. I didn't say I wouldn't get the virus or cancer. But I must not fear them. Everybody doing okay? I don't need to fear sickness or pain or death. I don't need to fear governments or oppression. I don't need to fear what others may think or what others may say. I must rely on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to control my life as a Christian, and I don't have to fear.
Amen.
I didn't say I would never get sick. Folks, there's no nail prints. I'm going to die. Barring the rapture, I'm going to die like everybody else. Well, what if you get the virus? Then I'm going to die like everybody. 95% don't, but if I do, I do. I don't care. I'm going to die of something someday. I don't have to fear. I refuse to live my life in fear. I want to show you what God has to say about not living in fear. Number one, the Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. The Holy Spirit gives us power. Now, listen to this very carefully. The word power there in the Greek is the word dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. I'm going to show my age. Not like J.J. Jackson. Dynamite! All right? Not that. Sorry. Those of you under about 45 don't know what that means, but it's okay. I've got three ladies about to have babies over that one. They're laughing so hard. Can I tell you something? The word dunamis means the ability to make possible, to mighty work or deed. In other words, doing something that is bigger than what is normal. Let me read something to you. Psalm 46, and you need not turn there. I'll do it because I've got to preach really fast here. God says in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. God says you should not worry even in cataclysmic situations. God says we should not fear. You say, why? God is our refuge. A very present help in trouble. The Holy Spirit has more power, and God has more power than anything this world can offer. My God's bigger than a virus. My God's bigger than a cancer cell. Everybody doing okay? Now, we have a few folks in our church that have cancers. Can I tell you something? I can't promise you that you're going to have all good results. But God's bigger than the cancer. It can only kill your body. It can't kill your spirit. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego weren't kept from the fiery furnace. Our God will deliver us. But if not, they had to go into the fire to come out of it. God didn't keep them from going through the fire, but he got them through the fire.
Amen.
Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. I'm about to shout. 1 John chapter 4, I want you to follow with me. Some of you ought to mark these verses and go back and read them later. It's right before the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation and turn back about three pages, you'll be there. All right? Go to the last book of the Bible and turn back a few pages, you'll be there. Now, I want you to notice, by the way, God wrote this, not man. Look at how God words things here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, capital S or small s. That means man's spirit.
Yes, sir.
Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, small s, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit, small s or capital?
Capital.
Spirit of God. Every spirit, small s, that is, confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Ooh. Whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit of God is in the child of God, so greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Preacher, how are you not afraid right now? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not afraid of a virus, a cancer, any disease, any cataclysmic opportunity. Hey, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Try the spirits. Oh, shut the churches down. Mr. Cuomo in New York City, if you have church, we're going to shut you down forever. Well, Mr. Cuomo, you haven't shut us down. They've tried to shut God up for all these years. Guess what? Mr. Cuomo doesn't have as much power as he thinks he has.
Right.
Anybody doing okay? Try the spirits, whether they're of God. By the way, we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, just a little while ago, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the spiritual wickedness, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, the Holy Spirit is greater than the spirits of this world. So God has given us the spirit of power. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives us a spirit of love. And by the way, love doesn't mean you tingle and wiggle when you walk. The word love here is the word agape. That is the deep abiding love of God. I'm going to make a statement many of you ought to learn very carefully. Love gives and does not need a feeling. Love is satisfied in giving, not in getting. If you give expecting to get back, you have not loved, you're expecting reciprocation. See, real love, real Bible love, God says, but God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You hated God, you were a sinner, you're disobeying God, but God loved you and gave Jesus Christ for us. God loves the people that hate him. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Do you know God feeds the people that hate his guts? He doesn't have to. You know, God puts rain where they can survive on this earth because he loves them in hopes that they'll get saved. You see, well, watch this. Love gives. Fear steals. Love gives. Fear steals. Fear steals your emotion. Fear steals your spirit. Fear takes your security away from you, but God's love and the Holy Spirit chases away all fear. God says perfect love casteth out fear. Did you know you don't have to be afraid to love somebody? Well, I've been hurt. Oh, come here, let me burp you too. Who hasn't? That's part of loving. May I say this? You haven't truly loved till you've loved somebody who has hurt you. Anybody can love somebody that loves them back. Try loving somebody that hates your internal organs. See, love gives even or especially when hurt or facing fear. Jesus commanded us to love our enemies and do good when evil is going against us. Let me say it this way. Love is not expressed by hiding away. In quarantine, it's expressed in giving. You don't express your love by hiding from everybody. You express your love by giving. Everybody doing okay? Never in the history of the world have we quarantined well people to keep sickness away. You quarantine sick people. Folks, I say this often, you know your enemy by how they attack you. They've attacked principles of conservatism and our current president, they call him using Hitler-like tactics. Who are the ones using Hitler-like tactics? It's them. This is Nazi Germany all over again. See, giving up freedom to prevent sickness is not love. Destroying jobs in the economy is not love. It's stealing from everybody. Now, listen very carefully here. We need to love during all of this that's going on. You say, how do we do that? Be at church. Hey, many of you, this is the greatest feeling you've had in 2 months. Say, why is that? It's that way because, and look this way, it's that way because you're finally around people that you can express love to other than yourself. Man is a selfish being, and when he's left to himself, he'll destroy himself.
Yes.
Oh, I just love me so much, and yeah, you're tired of yourself. You remind me of the guy that was stranded on a deserted island. About 6 years later, they found him, and he had three buildings built on the island. They said, how come you have three buildings? He said, well, this is my house. And they said, what's that building? He said, that's my church. They said, okay, what's that other building? He said, oh, that was my other church, but I got mad at the preacher and left. Huh? Sound about right, doesn't it? Being at church, getting involved, helping in junior church and the nurseries and helping with the parking lot and doing the things that need done around here. The folks singing, and thank God for good music, old-fashioned music. Not bringing in the honky-tonk rock and roll mess of the world. We're not putting ourselves on the non-essential list. We're essential.
Amen.
Thank God for the people that usher and do all the different things that takes place here at the church. Hey, that's how you love people. Huh? How about let's get the gospel out?
Amen.
How about we grab a stack of tracts and pass out gospel tracts to people? I got to tell a story. Mrs. Schenenberger was telling me, Josh and Lisa were at their house the other day, and the little girl wanted to go back to the truck and get something. She went and got a gospel track and gave it to Miss Arlene. Good judge of character. Mom was a little embarrassed. She said, honey, she goes to our church. And she was a little put out that Miss Arlene went to our church and she didn't know her. Can I tell you something? That's where they learn it. Learn it young. Learn it young. That excites me. I get excited about that. You say, why? We ought not be ashamed of the power of the gospel.
Amen.
How about we help those that are in need? There's folks that need prayed for. There's folks that might need something. Hey, let's be there and let's help. That's how you love, by giving. Number next. God not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. This one's going to be hard. Of a sound mind. Some of you would be glad if you just had a mind. You know, mind over matter. If you don't have a mind, it doesn't matter. You say, well, my mind's a little weak. Yes, it's too weak to even crawl. The word sound mind means disciplined or well controlled by truth or self-corrective. Our world lives in a very uncontrolled thinking pattern. Whatever the news tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Folks, the only thing I believe from the news media is the date, and most of the time they don't even get that right. A weatherman gets paid to not tell the truth. It's going to be warm and sunny. It's cold and raining. I mean, Lion Lou, Scally, Channel 25. Made a career on not telling the truth. Anybody doing all right? I'm having fun right now. You see, a sound mind means the Holy Spirit helps us focus on truth, and our will tells us what to think. We don't go on our false feelings. Did you hear what I said a little while ago? For weeks now, I've come to church wondering, my feelings have said, is it today? But then I allowed the Holy Spirit to control my thinking and said, God, help me. And I started focusing on the truth, not what could be. There are people sitting, cowering at home today that are saved people. Can I tell you why? They've succumbed to the spirit of fear and not that of the Holy Spirit. They've allowed it to play on their emotions so much. And that doesn't mean everybody that's home is some unscriptural heathen pig. All right? I'm just saying we need to learn. We need to grow into this. I'm trying to raise the spiritual level of Grace Baptist Church today. Everybody doing all right? See, You can't make decisions based on feeling because you're going to be wrong.
Amen.
Well, I've just got a feeling. Did you know the Holy Spirit and feelings never go together in Scripture?
No.
You'll never find a feeling associated with the Holy Spirit. You will find truth associated with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He cannot, he will not work outside of the confines of that book right there.
Amen.
Well, how do I know that the Holy Spirit's in it? Try the spirits, whether they be of God. How do you try them? Out of the Word of God.
That's good.
If it's not in the Word of God, it's not the Holy Spirit of God.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? Well, I just believe I'm supposed to jump off the building and God's going to save me. You're an idiot. You're going to have broken bones or dead.
Amen.
You see, fear plays on feelings and tells people to only think about what's happening right now. The Holy Spirit focuses you on truth and what will happen in eternity. Did you know if you live with eternity in view, you don't worry about what's happening today as much? Folks, nobody's going to live forever here on earth. Nobody. I'm not guaranteed to make it home without a car accident and dying. Neither are you. But may I say this, just because you're not guaranteed that, we ought to live with eternity in view. Set not your affections on things on earth, but things above.
Right.
I'm not talking, somebody used to say, some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I'm not talking about walking around like the Pope, holy, 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 and nobody can touch me, and I'm so above. I'm no above nobody. I'm a sinner saved by grace like every other person. But I am to live with eternity in view so that my life today isn't affected by the events of today only. Oh, just follow your heart and it will be okay. There's a lot of people in this room who made a lot of mistakes following your heart. I'll take you to divorce court and show you a lot of people who followed their heart and find out their heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, fear plays on feelings. It deals with the immediate. The Holy Spirit deals out of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. The Bible says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How about we start thinking on the Bible instead of the news? How about we start thinking on what God says, the great physician, rather than Dr. Fauci?
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
say, well, he's an expert. Yeah. Well, this is what the news said, the media and the press and the expert scientific medical professionals. The very same people that told you 20 years ago eggs are bad for your health, now eggs are good for your health. That 10 years ago coffee's bad for your health, but now coffee's good for your health. Same people. You see, expert scientific medical professional does not mean truth. They're human beings that make mistakes too. I didn't say they weren't sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. Just like Christian doesn't always mean scriptural. Just like preacher doesn't always mean right. There's a lot of preachers preaching wrong truth. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Just because it says Christian doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
Say, how do you know it's right? Got a book to tell me where it's at. Try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. Say, preacher, you seem awful confident. I am. Can I tell you why? Because God hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Some of you wonder about the third part. Can I tell you something? And I'm done. God does not want you to live in fear. Matter of fact, God made it to where you did not have to live in fear. He said, I do not give a spirit of fear. But he didn't say fear wouldn't come to you. He didn't say fear wouldn't be knocking at your front door. He didn't say that fear would not enter into the equation, but you don't have to live by fear. Say, how are we supposed to live? According to Galatians chapter 5, through the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, and meekness. Against such there is no law. Did you notice in that list of the things of the Holy Spirit, there's no fear?
That's right.
Folks, if I die today, I'm going to wake up in heaven.
Amen.
I don't have any doubt. You say, well, that's because you're a preacher. That has nothing to do with it. I know preachers who've died and gone to hell, I'm sure. You say, well, but preacher, they were sincere. Yeah, they were sincerely wrong. You see, I remember as a 4.5, 5-year-old child at Camp Baptist Temple in Canton, Ohio, a one-legged man got up in a junior church like Brother Lopez is back here, a Vietnam vet back in 1971, 72, had a wooden leg. I mean, a wooden leg. That man got up and preached to a bunch of beginner age kids. Brother Josh, that man scared the bejeebers out of me. I didn't want to die and go to a place called hell. I realized that I was a sinner. I'd been whooped enough by my dad and mom to know I had sinned. That man got done preaching and I walked over to my Sunday school teacher at the end of the row of chairs that were there, and I tugged on her skirt and I said, I don't want to go to a place like that. She took me aside and we knelt in a little kindergartner sized chair. She took her Bible and showed me what Jesus did for me, and that he came and was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life, was crucified and buried and resurrected, and that Jesus paid for my sins for me, as all I had to do is trust him as my Savior. I said, I could do that. She said, let's do it. Kneeling at a little kindergartner sized chair, little 4.5, 5-year-old boy trusted Jesus. I don't even know her name. I don't know how old she was to me. She seemed ancient. She could have been at least 40. You know, when you're 4 or 5 years old, that's old. Shoot, now that's a young person. Can I tell you something? She's definitely younger than Leanne. She's old today. I won't tell you how old, but she's getting closer to 90. Can I tell you something? I remember that day that I trusted Jesus. I remember going out to the car and telling my mom and dad. It was around New Year's, 1972-ish. Can I tell you something? I've been on my way to heaven ever since.
Amen.
Oh, I haven't stopped sinning, trust me, and don't ask my dad and mom. Yeah, I've been in a lot of things I shouldn't have done, like everybody else has. But just like my mom and dad can't disown me, even if they want to. Once you're born of God, you can't be unborn.
Amen.
It's not a matter of church. It's not a matter of getting baptized. It's not a matter of lighting candles and praying and doing different things. Those are things we do. It's by what he did for us and us trusting it to get us there. It's that simple. Even a child can do it. So if I die, I don't have any fears at all. None whatsoever. Now, I'm not ready for the next load, just so you know. I told God I don't mind dying. I just don't want to hurt on the trip. Amen. If it can be quick and easy, let's do it. But if not, let's hold off for a while here. But may I say something? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Grace Baptist Church, and to our guests, you don't have to live in fear. We have a book. We have a Savior. And there is something called salvation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we could take care of it today. If you have, I can tell you something, you don't have to live in fear. I understand why the lost world's freaked out, because they have a spirit of fear. But we ought not live that way. We ought to be the bright light that shines and says, how about you have what we got? That's the way it ought to be. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please, no moving, no stirring. Just give everybody the moment of silence that we all need. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, and I won't call you out, won't call your name. I'd never do anything like that. Would you say, preacher, I've never done what you said. And I honestly, if push comes to shove, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it does, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, how about you come forward? If you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible. And honestly, in about 2 or 3 minutes, you can know for sure. If you're a man, I'll have the Bible in a man's hand, and he'll show you how you can know for sure. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for that today. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion and like to join our church, we'd love to have you into our church family today. Maybe if you just raised your hand, God was speaking to you. How about you come kneel at an old-fashioned altar humbly and ask God to meet that need that you raised your hand about today?